Okay, why would we think about a county-by-county network? And this is my assistant, Donna Barrett. Donna, I'll ask you to go to the board here because my penmanship is not the greatest, especially while I'm trying to speak as well. What happens when people, after they go through your ministry, most of you have had experience in discipling. After you've led a Bible study for a year or two, after someone has been in your ministry, been in your church 2-7 group for a year or two, what happens to them? And what we're finding is it's not always good. So the first reason that we need to have a discipling network is because the laborers are not laboring for a lifetime. They're laboring for 13 weeks. The laborers are not laboring for a lifetime. The idea that we have is that people are in our Bible studies, they're in our churches, they're in our ministries, and after they've been with us, we assume that they'll bloom where they're planted. That is, they leave your group, they move across town, they move across country, and the hope is that they'll start all over again. And we don't want people to be in our Bible studies for the rest of their lives. We want them to start new groups. The fact is, many are not. One friend of the Navigators who makes disciples faithfully as a layperson for years estimated that he had had meaningful discipleship relationships with about 90 men over the past 25 years. That's pretty good. But he estimated only about 10% were doing anything in terms of them reaching others today. Now, this guy is no slouch. I mean, he knows what to do when it comes to discipling people and helping them, but only about 10% are following through. What's the problem? I don't think it's because he didn't do a good job. I think he did an excellent job. I think we need a network. I think we need something else to add to this. A few years ago, the Navigators took a survey of people who had been through our ministries, mostly collegiates, some military, some 2-7 grads, and so on. And there was good news and bad news. The Engel survey, as it's come to be known, found out that the good news is that the Navigator alumni, or I call them NPTs, Nav Pass-Throughs. That is, they've been in your ministry, they passed through, and now they spun out somewhere else. You know who I'm talking about. We don't want to keep them in our ministries forever, so they pass through. And hopefully they take something with them. We found that the NPTs were laboring hard for the Lord. The bad news was they were not reaching out among lost people in their laboring. They were mostly laboring among within churches or among people who are already believers. The evangelism was deficient. Many of them were leaders in their own churches. They were doing what I call a management ministry of a church, which needs to be done. They were on deacon boards, they were on elder boards, they were leading the Sunday schools and so on. That must be done. That's a wonderful ministry. But our survey found that that was most of what they were doing. They were not reaching out among the lost. Okay, so the first reason we need a discipling network is because the laborers are not laboring for a lifetime, and they tend to labor where it's comfortable among the fellow believers. Yes,
I was just going to say it reminds me of a song that Mike very much has been singing about the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
The lyrics go, "Let's stop carrying water to the ocean, we carry water to the desert."
Yes. Good point.
Carrying water is a tough job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are, and we don't want to minimize what's being done in our churches and in our discipleship groups, but back in your counties, a whole lot of people don't know Christ. The second reason we need to have a network is because of this diagram right here. For the tape, it's a group of sheep, a Gary Larson cartoon, a little weird. It's a group of sheep sitting around a bar, and the sheep are talking to one another, and one sheep says to another, "Well, what do you know? I'm a follower too." Now, I realize that I may be in a group of entrepreneurs here, but the facts are most people like a little leadership. So the second reason is because people appreciate good leadership. Now, the L word's not real popular today. We've replaced it with a facilitator or a coordinator. And there's some baggage when you think of leadership because some of you maybe had bad leaders. Now, politically, we've had... In every county in America, there's probably been some leaders we wish we hadn't had. But that doesn't mean leadership is not a good word, the right kind of leadership. Most of us are not entrepreneurs, especially spiritual entrepreneurs. You can be an entrepreneur in business, not necessarily in the spiritual arena. Most of us do better with a little bit of help. One of the things that Lauren Sanney, who's our speaker this week, might say this week yet, but he told me a few years ago, people need leadership all their lives. people need leadership all their lives. You don't graduate from thinking, well, I don't need leadership anymore. We always need some mentoring. It's different types of leadership, to be sure. Number three, because the fire goes out. I have a friend who is an NPT, a NAV pass-through. He happens to be an entrepreneur, runs his own business. And he said, Scott, it's inconceivable to me that the navigators aren't helping me more. He's gone off and moved to, and he's trying to bloom where he's planted. But he said, told me, he said, I feel like I'm the coal on the far end of the fireplace. He said, the fire's going out. He'd like somebody to come by and see him now and then and talk to him about the vision of reaching people for Christ and how's your marriage going and how's it going with your kids. I need to tell you that his wife confided in me that when he comes home at 5 o'clock every evening, he has a cocktail, just one, washes up the glass, puts it away. But it's kind of a secret. When the pastor came for a visit, he didn't do it that day. And that maybe isn't so bad. We could say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, he comes from an alcoholic background. His wife comes from an alcoholic background. She says, I'm scared. Now, what's going to happen with my friend? Is it we're just going to let him go? He might be all right, but the fire not only goes out for vision and ministry, the fire goes out in our hearts, too, for being men and women of character, men and women who walk after Christ. Number four, it's difficult to shepherd more than one flock. Perhaps some of you have tried that. You have people in your current ministry right now, your Bible study, a church group, and you want to minister to them, but what happens when they leave? And they're leaving all the time. It's difficult to also shepherd them and to keep them encouraged and do something locally. Donna, do we have a diagram on the next page here? Yeah, let me take a crack at this. I can draw circles, that much I know. So you've got a ministry here, people that you're concentrating on, maybe a Bible study or a group, and you're keen to help them. You really want to help them. But they always leave, and some of them should leave. You don't want them in your Bible study forever. Now, what happens out here when they move across town or across the country? Well, you try to link them up with a good church. Sometimes that works. You try to link them up with a NAV staff or another NAV ministry in another city. Sometimes that works. There's often a disconnect, isn't there? It doesn't often. So you're thinking, oh, golly, what can we do to help these folks? You send them a Christmas card. Now and then you call them. But it's difficult to do this and to do this. Wouldn't it be great if we had a network that you could plug those people into so that you know that if all you're going to do is send them a Christmas card, at least you know that there's another fellowship, there's another discipling net that they're tied in with. So they still got some accountability because we're decimating a lot of our effort here. Well, they're in your group. They're doing great. As soon as they leave, they don't have the accountability. They don't have the leadership. It doesn't go so well. So if we could get some networks going on that are not just simply fellowship networks. They can find that in the church. That's fine. But networks with like-minded disciplers, man, that'd be wonderful. I think we could have a lot more going on for the kingdom. The fifth reason is because you have a lot of values and skills as NPTs that the world doesn't have. Here's the quote I got from a friend of mine. He said, Scott, you navigators have so much good stuff, but you're keeping it under a bushel. We need a network because our skills and values are unavailable to most. You know how to have a quiet time every day. The average Christian struggles with that. They try and they get frustrated. You know how to share your faith. The average believer doesn't know how to do that. You'll get into an argument instead of sharing a testimony. You know how to do Bible study. You could take a chapter out of the Bible and you could outline it and you'd know what to do. You know, it wouldn't be the greatest in the world, you'd think, but at least you know where to start. Many believers don't know how to start. And so then they look at the Bible, go read a commentary, come to study to share someone else's blessings. You know how to do that, and these things are unavailable to most people. Now, what are the elements necessary for a discipleship network? If we were to have such a thing, let me tell you what the people of Michigan and the people of Florida said. Tallahassee, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Orlando, Florida, and about three towns in Michigan, including Petoskey, way up north, where you get those neat Petoskey stones right out of the lake that have got little designs on them. Kind of neat. Here's what they said. It spells out the acronym PERIL. I probably could have thought of a different acronym, but that's the acronym that came to mind, PERIL. P stands for people connection. They said, Scott, I've got to have some connection with people. I don't just want to be in a program, because they said, your box is great and your materials are great, but I need more than materials. I need someone. In 1982, we formed a group called the Minnesota Co-Laborers, and then another group called the Wisconsin Co-Laborers. I thought that was pretty creative. Two different states, so we gave them those names. Got the Minnesota Co-Laborers together in my basement. These people were NPTs. Some of them knew each other. Many of them didn't know each other. I gave a little chat on the importance of walking with Christ and so on. I don't remember what it was. I don't think they remembered what it was either. But they couldn't wait till I was done talking so they could talk to one another. And they were there the whole afternoon. By the end of the day, I picked them, remember, two men, strangers, sitting in the corner, real close together, praying fervently for one another. And hugged before they left, they were the best of friends. They were strangers when they walked in that room that afternoon. But they had like hearts. They thought the same about discipling. So all I did was provide a platform for them to get together. They needed a people connection. Events. This was a surprise. The people in the focus group said, Scott, why don't the navigators have events in our town anymore? And then he leans over to the nav rep who's taking notes, who didn't want to hear it. And I can tell you why there's no events, in that town at least, because the staff don't have time to put them on. And it's a lot of work. And sometimes from events you don't see results. I mean, 100 people or 200 people come to a meeting, and great meeting, and you're left with a cleanup. And you can't see, can't measure anything. So our staff tend to downplay events. But it was at an event where I became a believer. I'm glad the event was held. How many of you became believers or had meaningful things happen at events? Conferences, seminars? Am I the only one who's at? Okay. Events do something. Now, if all we had was events, we'd be missing something. But the people said, where are the events? This is a pretty good event here. Promise Keepers. A gazillion people.
And it was just incredible.
Yeah. Now, events aren't everything, but events do something. Let's not overlook events. They're a lot of work. If you've ever helped in an event, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you do it well, you can run a sloppy event easy, no problem. But people don't come to boring events. The R stands for resources. Well, maybe some people do. Resources. The people said, Scott, I want to lead a Bible study in a certain area, and I don't have the tools. Nav Press Catalog has got some great stuff, but that's only available through bookstores. Even the Nav Press Catalog doesn't go to everybody. How can I get these resources? You got some great stuff. There's something else. You probably have in your files some Bible studies or some handouts or some notes or something that you use in helping another person that's not published. I want to go through your files. And I want to pull out some of those great Bible studies, some of those great handouts you've got. We'll polish them up a little bit, and we'll use those as little leaflets, a nickel a piece or something, to get into the hands of thousands of Christians. The I stands for inspiration or encouragement. People often feel when they're in discipling, especially among the lost, they feel like they're alone. Boy, am I the only one doing this? It's encouraging to know when there's somebody else. They also need to have, because the fire goes out, they need to have somebody come by and give a little pep talk every now and then. I call that the Winnebago ministry. Let's put somebody in a Winnebago in your county, and they just make the rounds from neighborhood to neighborhood, from town to town, helping people, blessing people, encouraging people, challenging people. The L stands for, I hesitate to even bring it up, but it's the L word, it's leadership. Now, the focus groups never used that word one time. They didn't say, I want leadership. They never said that. Here's what they said. I said, suppose that we were to give you a sheet of paper that had the name and address of every person in your county with a little bit about them who was interested in discipling. And there'd be 5, 10, or 500 names here. With their ministry interests, some of their hobbies, just a little information. And suppose that was sitting on your kitchen counter in front of your phone. Would you call these people? Honestly. And they looked at me a minute. Nobody answered. Finally, they said, well, No, we probably wouldn't. But we wouldn't mind being called. Leadership. People are reluctant to take the initiative to do things, to start something up, or to get in touch with somebody, unless they're really desperate. It's an unusual person that would. But once they get called and say, hey, we're going to have a get-together next Friday, we'd like you to come, then they show up. So they didn't say the leadership word, but they hinted at it in many ways. Now, let me tell you what we've done so far, and this is a half dream I'm sharing with you. The idea is the Navigator staff are busy in their own ministries, doing what they're doing. Wonderfully so, good things are happening. I don't think that we can ask them to drop what they're doing in order to give attention to a county-by-county penetration. So we thought of a network or a club. Now, book club might come to mind. I don't mean book club, but or resource club. But this would be a group of people who are committed to the same things, who say, we want to do something. We cannot save the world. A guy in Milwaukee told me, Scott, he said, when you talk about the world, I mean, I've got a heart for that, and we pray for missionaries and give, but, you know, it comes down to actually doing something. I just got to think Milwaukee. I can't do something for the whole world. I can give and pray, but when it comes to doing something Monday through Sunday, I got to think Milwaukee. So what can we think about in our own home counties? Well, a lot of ideas. Here's some names off the Navigator address list. This is a county in California right there. There's the names. I've got four or five different counties here. But if we were to stack up Bay Hare County, I think we'd have a list of names this thick of people who are on the Navigator mailing list. Now, does this mean they're committed to discipleship? Not necessarily, but they're getting DJ or daily walk, or they're giving to the Navigators, or they're in a Nav Bible study or something. Austin, we'd have a list that thick. Minneapolis, I think we'd have a list twice that thick because of the history there for the last 40 years. So there's all these people out there that I think would be glad to get together and do something if we could figure out what it would be. Suppose in your county that the people, your friends, people in your Bible study, Christians you know, people off the Nav list, suppose they got a little invitation card like this. You're invited. The best kept secrets of building great relationships, October 18, 6 p.m., Holiday Inn. This is your invitation to join us for a motivating 150 minutes dedicated to helping you build great relationships in your family, at work, at church, and with non-believers. We'll start at 6 p.m. with a soup and supper sandwich in a home-style, relaxing atmosphere. Also, you'll hear about an exciting new countywide ministry of the Navigators designed to help you succeed in personal growth and family living and in sharing Christ effectively in your unique world. Bring a friend or two. All are welcome. I get together. And here's a card to send back to the county coordinator. Yes, I'd like to come. I'm going to bring a friend. Suppose we had a gathering like that, and maybe we get Lauren Sandy to come and talk to us, or Leroy Imes, or someone who's got a little bit of a name draw. And suppose that we had a great evening together. Then suppose we say, now, if you enjoyed this, we'd like to invite you to sign up for a network, because we're going to do some things here. We're going to reach Hennepin County. We're going to try to reach Hennepin County. And there's a fee to be paid to help with events like this, to help with the other resources. And if you want to sign up, sign this card. There's a box to take home on the way home. That's your startup kit. Let's see what we can do. And by the way, our next meeting is in a month from now. We're going to have an evening of prayer. Bring the names of your non-believing friends. We're going to have an evening of prayer. See you next time. Something like that. Now, this county, this network wouldn't be all events. It wouldn't be just coming. I mean, we don't want to just add one more thing to your schedule. You've got enough to do. That's not it at all. But the idea is now and then we need to have an event to put the people together. Because hopefully after that meeting, you'd meet some new friends. You get on the phone with them and say, hey, would you pray for my... Or say, I've got a... Do you know anyone that has experience with a kid with ADD? I need somebody to talk to. So if we can kind of put people together, I think it'll make a difference. Okay, that's all I've got to say. That didn't take long, did it, Don? All right. Questions, comments? Is this the kind of thing that you think would help you in any way?
Nails it on the head is adding one more thing. And I'm meeting with a couple of guys now and to try to coordinate or do one more thing. But yet I've often said that events are the one things that I miss because, you know, in the college ministry we had like a rally and things like that, which was encouraging. You saw other people out there doing it, and it was helpful. But, you know, it is time-consuming to plan an event and to do things like that and to find time in amongst meeting with the non-Christians that I'm praying for and want to see them come to Christ, meeting with a couple of Christian guys that I've been hoping will become laborers, you know, in amongst all of that, it's, and having two kids, a wife and two kids.
Yeah, right.
Scheduling.
You got to mow the grass, every now and then as well.
Unfortunately, yes.
Scott, an idea on that comment, one of the things that Bill and I have found works real well is to piggyback on other people's events. Coach McCarty doesn't mind if we form our groups and establish our networks after one of his events.
Right.
His ministry was paid for.
Exactly.
Being one. What happened in our experience was that Bill got together with some guys that he'd been mentoring, and they told two guys, and they took, I mean, it's like the shampoo commercial, and they ended up with a bunch of guys that went up to Dallas for the Promise Keepers Conference. And there were some key cattle things, and then we had just a little meeting in our house of guys from our church. Many of them didn't know the other one was there. You know, it's a good-sized church, and you may not have met one of them, certainly didn't know that, gee, you were in Dallas, too, until we put a little thing in the bulletin, and then they came to our house, and then, you know, what do you need? Well, we need this, and this, and this, and, well, can we form some focus groups, or can we form some identity groups, you know, things that work out. And that's been really good. It seems to me that this is the kind of thing where if you change the focus a little bit, and a lot of people do need nourishment and growth before they can go out and be effective evangelists. But if you change the focus and say, well, how many people feel like you're well on your way, growth-wise, and you want to share, you know, well, how many of you would be interested in learning how to disciple? And that's one of the things that again, from this little group, we've got some people who are, and we're getting together on a 3-week study that said how you develop your testimony, centered around the Word of God, and the gospel message, and present an effective invitation.
That's what I would visualize happening. I think the county people, and we would try in each county to get 6 or 8 people who would say, well, I don't have all the time in the world, but I've got enough time to at least help this thing get underway. I think those 6 or 8 would say, what our county needs is we're not ready to start making disciples. We're working on being disciples. So we would, if we have an event, it's going to be on how to have a quiet time. That's what we need to have. Or someone else, another county might say, well, our emphasis is on prayer. So I think the county leaders would be the ones to direct the schedule. It's not that Don and I have got this curriculum we want to put out there. That's not it. We're trying to figure out what can we do to be a resource to help people like yourselves bloom where you're planted. Denny, you brought a thing about time. That's true, and that's the biggest one of the biggest obstacles. What two thoughts come to my mind? Number one is I would like the navigators to provide some of the infrastructure so that you don't have to do it all yourself. So if you and a small team wanted to have a downtown meeting, Donna organizes it. Donna gets the place. Donna gets Leroy Imes arranged to come out and be the speaker. Donna takes care of all that. So it would hopefully we'd be able to minimize some of the just the detail of doing that. We also hopefully could find in every county, maybe there's some retired people who want to volunteer some of their time, and so they can drive around the city finding the best location, because as you know, it takes time to put on a good event. But hopefully, up till now, if you're going to do it, you got to do it yourself. And we're saying, we want you to do it, we're going to help you. You don't have to do it all yourself. So that, and then the second thought is, with this, I think we have to be willing to ask people to analyze what they're doing and maybe rearrange some of their schedule. What you're doing sounds right on track. Somebody else might be spending some time in some inefficient activities, and maybe they need to drop that to do this. Now, I'm not trying to be arrogant enough to think you drop what you're doing and help us with this one at all, but the fact is some Christians probably, they're busy, but are they doing the right things? But that's a good point. I don't know how we're going to overcome that. Other thoughts, questions? Barbara, where are you from? I forgot about your county.
Atlanta.
Tell us about Atlanta. Cobb County?
DeKalb.
DeKalb.
Yeah, we moved down there 6 years ago from Illinois. We lived in DeKalb, but we turned to DeKalb.
DeKalb?
actually, we're in the northern part of Atlanta, and most of the people there are from everywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up on the West Coast, and I learned that I was a Yankee. If you're anywhere else in the South, you're Yankee.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of people who are not native Georgians who.
And it's a profession.
Yes. I didn't mean to miss anyone else's counties. Anyone else not get a chance to? Okay, other thoughts, questions about this?
One of the things that I was concerned about as well of being involved in a church, but having some desires to outreach with other people, is that we have been trying to mobilize our Sunday school class to help in that effort because we knew it was too big for us to do ourselves. And one of the things that I think that non-believers really are yearning for is they want to see relevance. I think that's a real key issue. Some years back, I was involved with Businessmen's Ministry, and we had a lot of impact because it brought relevance into people's workplace. We would start talking about the Bible, and you had Bible studies in people's offices. And so what we're in the process of doing, it takes about 3 years to get there, is that is now we have three outreach teams that are formed out of our Young Merits Sunday School class. Because I knew that we couldn't pull it off in doing it. It was just too overwhelming. And so after a while, and we've had some people who were able to come in at different times and share some of the vision of outreach. And so each of these ministry teams, we have a team that may have one couple who is pretty established. On the same team, there's a couple there who really is maybe just learning how to have a black tie. And so there's quite a mixture in that team. But they can all contribute labor to the effort of pulling some stuff off.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're in the process of starting is February 3rd and 4th, we have what we call a marriage enrichment fun shop.
Fun shop.
We changed the name from a workshop to a fun shop because we wanted to relate that it would be festive, it would be fun, it would be lighthearted, there would be maybe some skits there. And I dare say that everybody, you know, would admit that they could use some help in their marriage. And I would imagine that probably of all the seminars this morning, probably the most heavily attended one would probably be the one on marriage.
I would guess so.
So we figured if there's a way that we could get the guys there to a marriage fun shop, the women would come. Because everyone will say, I'll do anything in my marriage. And the guy's like, well, I don't want to do an event.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make it fun and festive. And so we have a prototype coming up. And so the couples in our class, they're the ones who are going to hopefully be bringing their friends. And there's not going to be a whole lot of scripture. There's not going to be an invitation. It's basically going to be a place where we talk about biblical principles.
But it's geared toward non-believers.
It's geared towards non-believers to come in. And our thought is if we can set up a process, kind of like what you're talking about, where a couple times a year you have something like this, an event, everybody chips in, you pull it off, and hopefully we'll break the bridge, be able to talk about God. We'll talk about God soon. We'll share that some of these ideas came from the Bible. And there'll be Christian books found on the book table. And at the end, there'll be an opportunity for anyone to stay around and talk about the author of these principles that can do that. Basically, just an opening. So these people can go back and have a chance to talk with their friends about the relevance of the Bible in their marriage. And they say, golly, when I do what the Bible says in our marriage, we're blessed. When we don't, we have a lot of problems. And so we want to give them an opportunity to help open up
the
relationship with their friends through an event.
See, now if you were then to share how that event goes with a group of us like this, we might say, okay, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? So by getting people like yourselves in the same room, we learn, oh boy, I bet we could do that in our class. And that's the purpose of a network, is you learn from one another. You pick up various things without somebody coming in and lecturing you, telling you what to do.
Great idea.
Yeah. And here's what I tried and didn't work.
We're going to do our first one in about 3 weeks.
All right.
We'll see how it goes.
Oh, it'll be fun to get back together.
It's an E-Free church. We basically, we started helping, the church is fairly large, and so the pastors, some years ago, that were doing all the premarital counseling, said, this is too much for us to do, let's form a class. And so they have about, everybody gets married at the church, but a pastor has to go through this premarital class. And so we have about 30 couples a year that go through this premarital class, and it's a 12-week long class. Well, our goal was to help with that, but we wanted to get a hold of young couples coming out of that group. And because we found that after you have children, it was really hard to help turn somebody and get involved in ministry. It wasn't impossible, but we found that most of our friends that had kids, it was a lot harder for them to start carving out pieces of their schedule to commit to laboring in ministry. So we thought if we could help young couples once they first get married to make some lifestyle choices early and getting involved with just a couple things a month, it's a big difference. And that way, after they have kids, at least they have a lifestyle and hopefully they have some convictions about it. And so we started
a good idea.
We started a young marriage class out of that, and
the
premarital class. And so there, we have couples come and go. What's great about it is that we always have fresh couples coming in. And this year we'll probably lose about 5 couples who have been pretty involved with us. I think God will bring more couples in. So,
okay, but here's an issue. What about those 5 who have gone out?
Well, that's a concern. And when you were mentioning that,
yeah, see, where do we plug them? Yeah, yeah.
You know, all I can do at this point is just encourage them.
Go to another E-Free Church. Yeah.
You know, or some other place that you know. So, and I really don't have.
What I'd like to be able to do is say for some of those couples, let's, you know, the ones that you just met, maybe that you wouldn't, but the ones that are non-believers that are seekers, wouldn't it be great to call an 800 number and say, a non-believing friend of mine who's a seeker is moving to Atlanta. So you call the 800 number, Donna pages through the directory, faxes you on the list of all our members in Atlanta. And you can connect them. You call that member in Atlanta who's already committed to saying, if you got somebody to help, I'll at least meet with them one time and we'll see what we can do here. That would be how this would work.
No, we've done similar. We've got like a college of ghosts to an university somewhere. We've called NAS and asked for a number. I connect them to the military.
Uh-huh. It's that same idea, only done throughout life with regular people rather than people in a limited term. Yeah, that's it. Other thoughts or comments?
I think that your timing is significant to your program. Catching a couple, either before or just married, they have available time and interest. Everything is vital at that point. And they want to do it right, want to try to do it right. And so the motivation is there. Timing can be everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cecilia, you guys.
It's interesting because I work with exactly the opposite. It's the couple. I mean, the couple is usually one partner is not a believer. Mm-hmm. And also divorced individuals. And trying to reach the unsaved partner is really difficult. They're very leery of anything Christian or church oriented. And so our method is it's the lifestyle. I mean, they live what they are and what they believe in their home to win that individual, their confidence, their availability to come to something that might be presented. But it's very frustrating to try to reach out to particularly an unsaved man who is, he's got a very up against it. He loves his wife, and she's very dedicated to this lifestyle. And she wants the children raised in this life frame. And yet he is not a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the world. And that's my concern.
Mm.
There are majority are unsaved, and they're good people, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And trying to win the confidence that they will just hear the word is where I'm coming from.
What I'd like to be able to give to you is, again, a list of people who maybe in our listing we have experienced or even been divorced, or so you'd be able to say, you know, I'm not getting through this family. But you're an engineer, he's an engineer.
The thing that's so neat about some of these women, I've got now about five who have gone through really bad divorces.
Mm.
And I would say at least three of them, now they're in the workplace, at least three of them have a ministry in their workplace.
Excellent.
It is really neat. I mean,
it's
entirely different from winning a husband. It is now winning a fellow employee.
Excellent.
And, so, you know, the Lord uses your experiential knowledge in a great and wonderful way. So it's not a total loss if someone is divorced. That's, you know, to plug them in, to let them know they've got a ministry. They've got something to say.
Exactly.
And I think that, unfortunately, that is becoming the majority. I mean, the world is accepting it very graciously, whereas when we married, the word didn't exist.
Right. We need to have places to plug people in for service, because I think there's a lot of believers who would like to get involved in the Navigators or in something else, but the plug-ins aren't there. For example, if you called a NAV rep, and I don't mean to say this critically because I'm in the same ballpark, but if, in Minneapolis, if you'd have called me, said, Scott, I've had some NAV training and I'd like to get involved with the Navigators. What can I do? But I don't want to be in your Friday night Bible study and I don't want to be trained for staff. What do you have for me? There's nothing to say. What I see this being is to where you say, we've got just the thing that will help you in your ministry. And we've dedicated some resources to do all we can to make you bloom where you're planted. And this story about calling the NAV rep and not having anything to say, that's a true story, not to me, but to a friend of mine. And he said, I couldn't, there was no plug-ins. The bus was going by so fast, I couldn't get on it, or so slow, I wasn't interested. Give and pray is a way to be involved in the Navigators, and that's a wonderful way to be involved. But the other extreme is join our staff. Now, there is some things in between, but if we don't have events anymore, or very much, and we don't have enough of those types of things, it's hard for a normal person to get plugged into a disciple-making ministry. So they'll go to the church or Promise Keepers or something else. People are looking for something that will help them.
Scott, what's the feasibility? If you're talking about a lay network like this, and dividing it up by the 2,645 counties,
Yeah, marketers do it all the time.
Sure,
we can tell. We could get software that would tell us what kinds of people are in your county.
Right.
And
right. We've got the demographics.
We've got the demographics,
we've got the
yeah.
profile, we've got the census data, I mean, everything you want in the world. So this is as good a way as any to divide it up. You know, before the Navigators, always looked at college campuses, and then they looked at military bases, or vice versa, mm-hmm. military bases and then college campuses. And that's a good way, too. But if you're looking to the lay folks who are working the job and raising their kids and running the PTA and
right.
things like that, then counties work. What is the feasibility of having a well-developed survey that goes out to the folks county by county who are on your mailing list and says, okay, you know, check all the boxes that apply. Check all the boxes that apply. So in your family's or you have a close understanding of the problem base. Someone in your family has experienced a terrible divorce. Someone has lost a child. Mm. So, you know, these sorts of things where you take a look at the hurt points, at the wounded areas of people's lives, and, you know, I could probably, those came to mind.
You could have 100 categories.
I could have 100 categories in no time. You get here and have five.
No, let's capture that thought.
Then what we could do, we can essentially have a database that doesn't talk about median income and 2.7 kids.
Right.
It talks about these types
experiences,
of
where, interests,
where Satan sinks ships, mm-hmm. individual personal ships, family ships, business ships. You know, he sinks ships.
We'd have to be tactful about it, but I think Yeah, something should be done.
Yeah. Sharing that they're not willing to share.
Right.
But what then we could do is we could say to your, to your lady who's going to leave and move to Dallas, and say, well, look, you had this tremendous impact because of the horrible scars you bear because of your divorce, and you're struggling with your kids, and you need to really network with some encouragers and some leaders and some supporters and some people that you can minister to by virtue of that God created. God saved your ship. Mm-hmm. He kept it from going under and losing
you. And here's the names. Here's the phone number.
Exactly. And here are five ladies who've been through terrible divorces. How do I know? Because they told us.
Now, if we wait on that lady to call those five, then she won't. So when do we tip off the five?
So then you call the five and say, she's moving.
Yeah.
She's really still very, very wounded. I don't think she'll call you. Will you call her?
So the idea is there an interest experience network.
Right.
If you're willing to be a part of sharing that.
Yeah, right.
It's to say, I've got something to say.
But it is the kind of thing that if people, by God's grace have come to see that there's a reason why I have this pain in my experience, and it is so that God can produce good from all things, then that might be something that would really help this network idea work, because it's not just like Terry was saying this morning, it's not just the parade of life. We can all say, yes, we've got PTA, and yes, we've got Bible study, and yes, we've got the activities, but where have you really lived in your life? And who have you really God is something
That's exactly
it. I don't know if it's a whole survey like that would be, but it does get down to the nitty-gritty, and like you say, a lot of people are not going to want to share that.
I don't know how we get the information. I almost think it would have to be gathered locally. If there's a local county team that's,
But if we don't start attacking back in the areas where Satan sinks fold flotillas,
fleets,
then we really are missing it. And that's what came to mind when you said, gee, this marriage thing is happening. Good grief. Divorce may be a common thing, and it may in the media come across as, next step. But it really isn't that way.
Let's change the news.
It hurts. And people are really scared to go through it in their life. And they're really scared, if they've been through it, to go through it again.
Okay, other ideas or thoughts about a network like this?
It seems, I guess when I look at the idea of national, it seems so overwhelming. And I think I'm beginning to see some of your vision on it. I could see where if a geographical region started off first, maybe a smaller piece of the pie, and something started shaping up in an area, I could see some value of being able to have, if I knew of some people who are trying to do some similar things, what I'm trying to do in Austin or Houston, or there's a guy from Waco that I know about who's doing some stuff. To get together every 3 or 4 or 6 months, meet in Austin or some kind of point, just to get together and talk, I would find that beneficial.
Yeah.
To me, that seems a little bit more something I can get my hands around. And you don't have to set such great and high goals that are going to kill you.
Right.
But set a 5-year plan and just to have that resource build from that, where the network expands, say, hey, I just heard somebody in Dallas is doing something.
That's exactly the idea. I'm looking at, you got various counties, and suppose in a 5 or 6 county area, we had a county coordinator, a couple are single in each county, and there's a person that's like a shepherd there, has a Winnebago ministry going on. Suppose we said, hey, you folks are interested in this, you've had some experience, let's pull together for a half-day meeting and share what we've been learning and get an idea on how maybe we could do something as a 5-county team. Or it could be statewide, too. But the ideal is, what is happening? Another reason we probably need to have this is because I don't know there's any professional development going on for lay disciplers. See, in the NAV staff, we have, should have, sometimes it works better than others, but at least in my team, my desire is I get sick to my stomach if I think my people aren't being developed. who develops lay disciplers? Now, I'm not talking about, but lay people had experience in discipling. I'm sorry to say the church often doesn't. You get a dinner and a word of thanks, which is wonderful. But what, so I see professional development for people like yourselves. You get professional development in your profession. Where do you get professional development in lay discipling? Exactly. Now, the church is providing a lot of information and so on, but there's not accountability there. So I have in mind we would eventually, maybe all 2,645 county captains come to Glen Eyrie. We close down the place and take it over for a week. But the idea is, what can we do to help the leaders of the counties or the states keep on growing in their discipling ability, their leadership ability? So you're right on track. We would have to pull them together, and then they would say, what are you learning, so we can go back and build county cells.
I just want to make a suggestion. I noticed that when these people go out from our body, from over in, all over the United States, when they get into trouble, they call, and the first thing that they ask for is prayer. And I don't want to underestimate the power of prayer.
Yes.
The power of prayer so encourages the body. That's for the body. And where you have this little network of leaders in each county, and we are praying for one another.
Yes. Yes.
We have the ability to rise up above whatever is pulling us down. And people respond to prayer when they know that there is someone who's willing to pray for them. They will call you, they will plug into that. And the interesting thing about it is they go out and they praise what has happened to them because of what somebody prayed for them.
But if they don't know what's happening with other people, then they won't be able to pray. So we have information. They've got to know, and then they pray as well. And this, prayer is a whole other dimension we haven't even talked about.
But see, you know, with the, one thing that happens, you remember that 9 of the 10 lepers never came back to Jesus. The thing you have to do when you promise to pray for someone is let them know that when the result occurs, they'll communicate back, and they'll communicate the truth to others. Yeah. It's really interesting. I don't give away my prayer cheap anymore. I exact the price. The price is, you have to tell me what happens, and when it happens, when God provides you the answer, then you have to tell others. If you don't, I won't pray for you.
Good. Good comment. Let me briefly review this notebook here. So let's say you signed up for the Lifelong Laborers Network, and I don't know what we'll call it. So you sign up, and I'm thinking of a 3-year membership rather than a 1-year, because 1 year, that means you got to re-up all the time. If you've ever been in a book club or an alumni club or something, I'm not sure what we can get done in 1 year. Let's look at a 3- or 5-year membership. So you'd have a directory of local events, and these might be statewide events. So that, and especially starting out, because like you say, I think we've got to think a little broader first with leaders especially. So maybe it's a statewide event. Maybe there's only one this year, but that's where we start. Eventually there might be several pages of events, and you can pick your city, the one you want to go to. Then there'd be a directory of the members, and they would have, like you suggested, Noah, I think you're a little more focused on it, with suffering experiences. Put them down, because people are drawn to that. The next section would be ministry opportunities. There's some NAV staff who've got some great seminars that they're not telling us about. Lee Brace has one on prayer, where he'll come to your town and do a Friday night and an all-day Saturday prayer event that changes lives. A county could get together, or a 5-state area could get together. Let's have him out. And I think if we get 20 or 25 people who are willing to do it, I think Lee would come. We'd make that a part of the network. The network would help fund him so that the 20 or 25 people wouldn't have to each, you know, mortgage their house to get him out there. There's some great things being done in the area of assessment in the Navigators, understanding your gifts, understanding your calling. Well, we've got to get that word out. Dave Legg down in Florida has got an excellent seminar. Don Lanier is doing one downstairs right now in a similar area. Marriage, there's some excellent marriage seminars. I think the Snyders here are doing one. There's others. There's seminars on the basics, of course, but there's others on other specific areas, and I've listed 19 here. So a county could get together, browse through the book, and say, yeah, we like that one. Or they could say, you know, none of those hit the mark, so we call up Donna and say, Donna, what else have you got? And so we would help to find some seminars. Here's an 800 number. I don't know how effective this would be, but it might be effective. Every now and then, I need a refresher course in how to lead an evangelistic group. So I've got my group meeting tomorrow night, and so I call the 800 number, and I get 4 minutes of tips and reminders and maybe a war story that's pre-recorded. And then I can have an access ability also to call a live voice and say, I listened to the 800 number. I still need a little more help. What do you do when? And so at that point, the county, the state coordinator, or we'd have a group of people who are ready to answer questions to get a live voice. So we would eventually build a catalog of maybe 100 different or 200 different calls that you could make on very specific things. NAB Press, we're talking with them about a 25% discount for every member of the network. So anything you order from NAB Press, 800 number, 25% off automatically. Talk with Jack McQueen at Eagle Lake. Every member would get a coupon. You've got a kid you know that needs to go to Eagle Lake. Here's 20 bucks off. Just send this along with him and he gets 20 bucks off. Then there's special tools. Here's every now and then my quiet times kind of hit the skids and I don't even want to have a quiet time anymore. And then I realize I've got to start over. So I start over with 10-minute quiet times from the book of Mark. And I've broken Mark into paragraphs. So you can spend 10 minutes on one paragraph, no more. And this gets me back going again. Well, I shared this with some people. They kind of like that, so I printed this up. But this is an example of a leaflet. You might have stuff like this in your files right now. We need to get these leaflets out and show people how to use them. Here's another one on bitterness. We would also have a newsletter. Oops, where did I put that down? Ah, here it is. Now, newsletters are some of the greatest things to lay on coffee tables and not get read, but this would be oriented toward specifically on sharing your faith and also on succeeding as a believer. So this one here, constant hurry will limit your outreach. We're not going anywhere, says Jerry Fosdell of Stoughton, Wisconsin. And is the point of his talk is, I'm not moving. So the non-believers who don't want to study with me this year, maybe 5 years from now they'll study with me. And he's had that happen. He said, I'm just going to outweigh him. Well, now that's good. I like that because here's somebody who's he's going to be in his county probably the rest of his life. And he wants to make an impact on that town, and he has. So we'd have stories from the front. You know, it's always encouraging to me to hear what somebody else is doing. There would be in this every time a catalog of something for free just to write in and get it, and then a listing of various other resources that you could get at a discounted price, either from the navigators or somebody else. We would be looking through to find out the tools that are most effective and most helpful and offer them to you. You know, there's a lot of Christian bookstores, but a lot of Christians don't go to Christian bookstores. They've done research and studies on that. So this would be in one more way without having to go downtown. We'd have a little bit of humor in this. It'd have a little bit of an edge to it. This cartoon here shows a man being led away from a church in a white straitjacket. And the pastor and the assistant pastor are standing on the steps watching the men lead this person away in a white straitjacket. And it says, I'll miss Lewis. He volunteered for everything. So, see, you understand that, and the people are going to read this. They understand that. They've been through that. They know how that could work. Then we might have a profile of some other lifelong laborer. And then this back page would be dedicated to how do you answer questions non-Christians ask. So this would have a bit of an evangelism thrust to it. There'd be some quotes you can use as you're talking with your friends. Well, here's a good one by Woody Allen, that renowned theologian. I know I'm going to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Now, I've used that with non-believers, and it helps to break the ice a little bit about talking about a difficult subject. So we'd put some quotes, we'd put some suggestions on what do you say. We'd have a membership card with an 800 number to call Donna, and also to call your state office or county office. And every year you get a new membership card if the numbers change and so on. Don't do ministry without it. You would receive a video called Recapture the Vision. This is the idea. Maybe some of what Sandy talked about last night or tonight. We'd put those in short 30-minute videos. And, of course, you've got to have the popcorn then to go with the video. But the idea is in your home, you invite in half a dozen people in the network. Say, come on over. We'll have some popcorn. We'll listen to a video. We'll have a little prayer. Very simple, very easy. The idea is let's put tools in your hands so that you can use something, get something going without having to do it all yourself. I stuck this in at the last minute afterthought, and the people in the focus group said, hey, this is great. Where can I get more of these? It's a NAV Scripture Memory Pack. They're good. People need these. And Discipleship Journal, every member would receive Discipleship Journal free of charge for as long as they're a member of the network. So it's got some perks in it, because I think people like yourselves, we want to give you perks. We want to help you. There's certain things you're doing you just need to have, like the discounts and so on. So this would be the take-home package. And you might have a few of these in your closet even. So if you meet someone that says, you know, I'd like to be a part of that network, sign them up. They take the package and off they go. So in the package, there's things they can start doing right away. Another idea we've talked about is to, you can't control people's schedules, nor do you want to. But the people in your county, how will you know that they're continually always trying to reach out after the 13-week Bible study? Well, you could set up a big schedule so that everybody does evangelism once a week. You got do lists, and I've done that, and sometimes it's worked and God has blessed it. But you run crazy just trying to keep track of everything, riding the fences. Suppose instead we signed a covenant that we all agreed to together, and the covenant would go something like this: to the best of my ability, I know I'll fail, but to the best of my ability, by the grace of God, I will always be entertaining relationships with non-believers and seeking to share the gospel with them. I will always be discipling one other person, and I'll always be trying to equip one other leader to the best of my ability, and I need your help in doing it. And you sign your name, send that in to Donna. You keep a copy for, but everybody in the lifelong labor, we sign a covenant of values, not of activities. You don't have the guilt. Yeah. And also, activities, it would become a church, and we don't want to become a church. Okay, I've told you just about all I know about lifelong labor, so I better stop or I'll tell you something I don't know. Other thoughts or comments? One more thing. How do we start? Well, no, I take it back. You know, we're going to make this a longer seminar than I thought. There's some verses of Scripture that guide us. And the first one is Acts 15:36. What Scriptures should guide a lay network? And I can't get Acts 15:36 out of my mind. This is the best verse on follow-up in the whole Bible, and a lot of people don't know it. Acts 15:36. This is after Paul has finished his first missionary journey. He's about to go on his second. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Great verse on follow. Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, I've circled several words. Let us return. Paul was thinking of a team, not himself. He could have said, "I'm going to return and single-handedly see how these people are doing." Let us return. Paul was part of a team. You and I need to be part of a team. Every city, every county. You know, it'd be interesting if we could take all the people we know and plot them on a county map. They'd be all over America. Paul wasn't going to let anybody get by and see how they are. This word visit here, I looked it up in Greek. And it's episkeptomai. I don't think I pronounced it correctly. Anybody recognize anything in that word? Sound familiar? Skeptic. That's what this word is getting at. Skept. It means to look around or quiz. Intent. Purposeful. See, when Paul was going to go back and visit the brothers, he wasn't just going to have a cup of coffee. He wasn't going to clap him on the back, "Hey, keep going, brother, you're doing great." He's going to ask a few probing questions. He's going to look around. He's going to inspect. Visit, yeah. Episkeptomai. So as we visit with the people in our networks, let's not be naive. Now, we're not the network police either. You know, we're not going to go. But the idea here, let's not be naive. Let's inspect a little bit. Let's ask some questions. Let's not... things are not what they seem. See, my friend has the drink at 5 o'clock every night. I miss that. And I can't let that go now. I'm a little wiser the next time. Follow-up, yeah. See, in follow-up, you do the same thing. You don't just automatically assume things are going well. That's a good word. Another verse is Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Pillows don't sharpen pillows. Marshmallows don't sharpen marshmallows. Iron sharpens iron. So I think we, as part of the network, we need to have a little bit of grit in our soul. We need to have some starch in our pants now and then so that we have some intent and some purpose. We're serious about this because that will sharpen other iron. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, people fail. People fall. That's not the verse on where there's no vision. That's a different one. This is where there's no guidance. And the right kind of leadership is needed. You're leaders. And you can influence and help other people. Too many people have the wrong idea of what leadership really is. But in this culture, we may have backed off leadership way too much to where nobody wants to lead at anything anymore. In fact, I don't particularly care for leadership, to be honest with you. I don't like having to lead at times, be responsible. It's awful. A good illustration of this, of the lack of leadership, was I was down in the municipal court one day. Don't ask me how I got there. I was with my son. Don't ask me how we got there. Anyway, we were with a group of others, and these smart-aleck teenage kids were out in the hall making jokes, having fun, criticizing the way these dumpy people dressed, you know, and all that. Then they have to go up before the judge, and I suppose some of you have been in court, too, with your children, and the judge is up there, and suddenly these children become humble as they have to walk to stand in front of the judge with their parents right beside them. This one young man came forward, and it wasn't exactly easy to know what to say when you got there, because you had to go with the paralegal for negotiation and so on ahead of time. So the judge says, "How do you plead?" The kid didn't know what to say because it was confusing, and it was confusing. So he turns to his dad, and this is what his dad did. Just devastated the kid. That kid needed guidance at that point. He didn't need, you know, somebody to abstain from leading him. Now, the dad was right in that it was the kid's problem. He didn't want to rescue him, but he should have given a little bit of guidance, a little bit of leadership there. And let's not be guilty of that with the people that we're ministering to. Ezekiel 34 is another passage I like. It says, "The sick you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not mended." There's a lot of those people in our counties. Now, we can't help them all. We can't, I'm not suggesting that. But let's start something so that that network, that penetration can go out. Okay, how do we get going here? Well, I'm not sure. You're in on a half-open dream here, but I think we could start this way. If in your county there were 6 to 8 couples or singles who would say, "I like the sounds of this. I like the sounds of this. I don't have all the time in the world, but I want to do something that'll help to reach or do more than I'm doing right now." If you can get those together, those people together, and sell them on this idea, I'll come out and we'll have a little sit down and chat. And we'll move toward a kickoff event. If that seems to be the will of God in your county and you're interested in this, we'll have a kickoff event. I don't know, we'll try to get Leroy Imes or somebody to come out and kick this thing off. And we'll try to, and maybe we want to get, even to help us with that, we may want to get another 25 couples. See, the 6 to 8 may know some others. Of course they do. To help kick this off. Now, we're not talking about anybody being signed up yet. That's, we don't know what we're signing up for here. Kickoff event. Along with that, we'll do a mailing to the whole county, inviting them to the event, telling them about the box and the whole bit. And from that, we'll say, "Did you like that?" Maybe we should do something else, and we'll try to appoint, at that point, a leadership committee to go the next round. Now, all the while, Don and I are going to be supplying the logistics and the infrastructure to go with this. So where is it going to go from here? I don't know. I really don't. But I think we can figure out where to go together. So the idea is 6 to 8 couples, I'll come out, we'll talk. If it looks like it's the will of God, can we find maybe 25 couples to help kick off an event? We'll get Leroy Imes or Lauren Sandy or some speaker to come out and talk about you. We can decide on the topic, some interesting topic. And from there, we do a mailing to everybody in the county. And we might end up with a team of 5 or 6 on a leadership committee. We might end up with maybe 5 members of the Lifelong Laborers Network in your county, and we're off and running. Then the committee decides, okay, what's the next thing we're going to do, or should we do anything? Maybe we want an Andrew dinner. Maybe we want Lee Brace to come out and give the prayer thing. But at that point, we want to do all we can to help you do something in your county. That's it. That's the idea. I don't know if this is how ministries start, but I think we're on to something here.
Scott, one thing that concerns me, and that you know, I would be sure that I ask you about. I think that many ministries, I haven't been involved in Navigators as much over the past 20 years as I was when I first came in college. But I think many ministries make a mistake of kind of standing on, you know, kind of stepping on one another's feet. I think that a key thing in this, and this is where it can just be so integral to what we're all trying to coordinate in our lives, is to be sure that we stay in touch with other people's stuff,
yeah,
and other people's leadership. You know, I love it when Bill Bright writes something on Jim Dobson's deal and Josh McDowell's,
yeah,
call focus on the family. We're working together on this. Campus Crusade and Josh are working on just that. You know, we have ministries that really duplicate unnecessarily a lot of the support. And you know, I know for a fact that we did our year-end giving, for example, and you know, immediately I see, as a business person, I see a lot of ways.
Sure.
A lot of ways.
Sure.
The focus is the same. So we're very careful now that we support ministries that are not replicating one another. I don't do World Vision and Child Aid.
Right, right.
I don't do that.
You raise a good point. Let me make a comment on it. I think this is an inclusive thing rather than exclusive.
Awesome.
So, yeah, we'll tell CBMC,
right,
great, everybody comes.
Exactly.
Now, if what we're trying to do is not unique in some way, then we ought not to form it.
And if the NAV groups don't help the guys who are awakened by Promise Keepers and
right,
know what to do next,
yep,
then we're missing a boat.
We are.
You know?
Now, what would be unique?
I'll water somebody else's seed. I guess that's what I'm saying. I want to water where someone else has planted, or plant where someone else can water.
And that's the spirit we want to have. But we don't want to compete with the church either, because the church is doing that. So what would be unique about this? If there's nothing unique, we ought not to form it.
Right.
I think I see a couple of uniquenesses. One would be the what I call the longing for personal ministry. Now, all of us are involved in management ministry in our churches. That's great. But you don't come home from a deacon's meeting at 12:30 midnight and thinking, I can't wait till the next one. You don't. But when you come home from 12:30 having ministered to somebody late at night in a Denny's restaurant over the Bible, you come back saying, boy, I'm dog tired. But I'd do it again. So
you're
longing.
The folks are going to be our 6 or 8 couple functions.
Yes, but also it would spread to others. So that's one thing. That would be a bit unique about this. A second thing that's unique is the idea of one-to-one. That is, it's face-to-face. Now it's small group, we got events and so on. All that happens, and that's where we participate. Maybe the committee would say, you know, there's a Promise Keepers meeting in our town next week. We don't need to have any events for 2 months. We'll just join the... Great.
Let's
do that. Or the church is having a special speaker. Let's do that. But their uniqueness is we're interested in face-to-face. So after the Promise Keepers meeting, after the big church event, I'm going to sidle up beside somebody and I'm going to say, hey, what'd you think of that? I'd let you and I get together and pray about that tomorrow morning. Another thing that's unique is what I call the third generation. This is navigators. We navigators just are unhappy until we see the guy I'm ministering to is ministering to somebody else. That's unique. So I'm meeting with a guy named Alvin. Black guy. Great guy. Just, he's a new believer. Got baptized in a stock tank here at a church not long ago. Wonderful story. And I'm helping Alvin to grow, and he's growing. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Alvin, are you reaching somebody else? I'm not satisfied until Alvin has reached another and reached another. So that's all. I think these are some steel threads that go through all this, that it is a bit unique. And if it's not unique, we have no business even talking about it. So, excellent question. Yeah, Roger.
Also, uniqueness being getting people, you know, bad, merged into the scriptures.
Well, see, the church would say they're doing that. Many ministries would say they're doing that. But I think there's one that I would add, and I would call it the spiritual disciplines that are extremely practical. Yeah, because Roger, you're onto something. Many ministries do that, and many say they do that. We said we do that. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But I think one thing that we would bring to it would be the extreme practicality in the disciplines, like scripture memory, like prayer, like how to have a quiet time, like how to share your faith. Everybody knows about the Navigator 3-minute testimony and so on. I think that might be a uniqueness that would maybe not be as unique as third generation, but it is absolutely essential. And the way we would go about it with the pragmatism might be it. Good point. There might be other uniquenesses too, but I don't think we want 25 uniquenesses. We might be the best small group ever to go out of business. All right. Good discussion. Thank you very much.